Yeah, there is something profound that God wants to do in your life today. He wants to go into the places of pain, and he wants to heal you. I believe that God has been working since the start of this gathering. But I just want to encourage you to open yourselves up, open your hearts up even more, and invite God in to do the great work in your life that he wants to do. And I think that today does not have to be a day like any other day. I believe that today can be a day of breakthrough. That today could be the day where the thing that you've been praying for will happen, where the healing that you've been seeking will be found. And even for those of you that are unaware that you've even needed healing, or you know that you're broken and you know that you have pain, but you haven't yet found the source, how it's going to get better, how are you going to heal, how are you going to move on, how are you going to move past, I think that there's healing for you today if you would just reach up and grab it from the Father because of his great love for you. And even if you leave this building today feeling no different, understand that God has begun a great work in your life, and that your life will never be the same, that your heart will be restored, that the season is about to change, that the page is about to turn, a new chapter is starting in your life. Would you just give God praise if you're looking for that healing? Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. You can be seated. What amazing worship, too. Victor, don't go anywhere. I hear the word of the Lord for you, Victor. That he's given you a great capacity to love other people, and that it's from that capacity to love that's where your ministry is going to come from, and that nothing else matters as far as the questions that you've had about your qualifications or how much you deserve it, or the things that people who've been around you have done, or you know, none of that matters. God has such a great calling on your life. And that calling that he has is just about your capacity to love other people. And you have such a beautiful heart for that, man. And God wants you to know that he has so many for you to impact. He has so many for you to reach. And it's simply because he's chosen you and because you've said yes to loving people. So don't fear anymore. I think that God is saying to you today that the time for questions is done. The time for questions is done. It's time for you to close the book of the many great questions that you have. And just know that I've called you. That's it. There's nothing you could do about it. There's nothing you could do about it. And that many people will be touched because of you. Many people will step into their calling. The way that I have plucked you out of the world that you felt like you were in, and I've put you around the right people, and I've put you in the right circumstances, and I've put you into the right relationships, and even you've seen other people choose not to go along this journey with you. You've even seen other people as you're being carried by the Father out of that thing into the new thing. You've watched the people who've chosen to stay behind, but the time is now for you to look forward. The time is now for you to stop looking at what's behind you. Just step into the mighty thing I've called you, and you watch how that love that I've put on the inside of you is gonna transform many, many people and help them into what I've called them to do. Thank you, Jesus. So Just like the 9:30 service, I don't know exactly what God's going to do here. I have notes. I'll prove it. I have notes right here. But I don't know what's going to happen. I just feel like God wants to do something mighty. I feel like he wants to do something in your life today. And I'm so excited. That was such a good word, Pastor Scott, that peace. That peace. I don't know if you guys can feel it, but yeah, give it up for Pastor Scott coming up here and delivering the word of the Lord. So we've been in this series of talks called The Wild. And we've been talking about the wild side of God. And we've been focusing on how God is not a meek God. He's not a quiet God. He's not a tame God. But as the team was putting this series together, we weren't just trying to focus on the wild side of God, but our hope for you, for the church, was that your faith would begin to build up and become more of a wild faith, to be bold, to not be silent, to not be tame. By the way, are you guys ready to respond to the word of the Lord today? I don't want to be up here talking about the wild unless we're going to get a little loud in this room. When you step into the thing that God has called you to do, when you say yes to a life of pursuing Jesus, and not just a life where you're a Christian and you have the faith, but a life where you've said yes to the perfect will of God, understand that there is no greater adventure than when we're in the perfect will of God, because there is a perfect will of God. God has a perfect plan for your life. There is no greater high that you can chase than being in the presence of God. There is no greater peace that you can find than when you get the peace of God, who loves you and cares about you and wants what's best for you. And there is no greater love that you can experience than the wild love of God. And today I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject of wild love. God's wild love for you. How much he cares for you. How he's pursuing you. How he wants to be close to you. Psalm 45:11 says this: "Be here. The king is wild for you. And since he's your Lord, let's be wild for him. Adore him." Have you ever adored someone? Have you ever adored something? You just can't take your mind off of that person. You just can't think about other things. If you spend too much time apart from that person, you feel sick to your stomach. You feel weak. You feel like you haven't eaten. You feel sad. You feel like you're gonna die. And I want you to know that there's a place in our faith where, man, we get to this place and we need to be wild for Jesus. It's not enough for us to come on Sundays and lift our hands and clap. And that's of course an amazing thing. But what about Monday through Saturday? We need to adore God. We can't, like, one day a week won't sustain the amount of passion that we have for the Lord. We have to get out there and we have to maintain. You know, you come here to get inspired, but throughout the week, it's your job to feed that relationship with God. It's not our job to feed you so that you can be close to God. It's our job to fuel you up and inspire you. But ultimately, your relationship with God, my and April's relationship, would not sustain if we spoke one time a week, or if we saw each other one time a week, or if I told her I loved her one time a week. But man, that passion, that need, that hunger, that can only be satisfied by expressing and experiencing the wild love of God. There is no man that can give you this love. There is no woman that can give you this love. There is no philosophy or self-help book that can help you experience, that can heal that thing in your heart. And it is a healing love. God's love, he wants to heal you with his love. And some of those other things, you know, some of those other things are fine things. I'm not saying you shouldn't pursue those things. You should try to do everything that you can. You should pursue a spouse. You should pursue self-help, or you should pursue, you know, greater thinking, or, you know, opening your mind, or whatever the world is. But on top of that, if you're pursuing those things and you still feel the emptiness, it's because there's nothing that can fill that part of you except for the love of God, except for God's wild love for us. I remember, and forgive me if I've told this story, I'm just thinking about the healing power of God's love. And forgive me if I get emotional in this service. I just so badly want you guys to understand how much God loves you, how much he's pursuing you, and how much his love can heal you. When I was first dating April, or before I dated April, I was in this other relationship, and it wasn't that great of a relationship. She was fine, but, you know, probably she needed to work on some stuff, and I needed to work on some stuff. But one of the things was this girl was very insecure. And so what that turned into was, if she had free time and I had free time, that meant we had to be together all the time. She didn't want me hanging out with other people. She didn't want me to have other friends. And I didn't realize this, but it was beginning to hurt my heart. It was beginning to damage me. So anyways, I got out of that relationship. I got into this relationship with April. We started hanging out and started dating. And one of the things that would happen was I was a part of this group chat with all these guys. And every once in a while, someone would hit up the group chat and they would say, you know, hey guys, let's hang out tonight. And it was always like last minute. So it would always be like, hey guys, it's like 6 o'clock. They'd be like, hey guys, 7 o'clock tonight, my house, you know. And I was with April when I got that text. So I looked at it and I ignored it because I thought, well, I can't. I can't, because April's, you know, I'm with April. And have you guys ever been a part of a group chat where you make your decision, but the phone keeps buzzing anyways? And so eventually the phone kept buzzing and I wasn't even looking at the phone anymore, but obviously April could see that hear that my phone was buzzing. And so finally she said, like, man, who's texting you? And I said, it's the guys, don't worry about it. And we kept talking, phone kept buzzing, and she said, well, what's going on with the guys? I said, they're hanging out tonight. And she said, oh, well, are you gonna go? And at first I thought, is this a test? And I said, no, I'm with you, you know, it's fine. She like pressed it. She pressed it because she knows how much I love my friends. And she said, well, don't you want to go? And I said, well, you know, sure, but I said, but if I go, oh, shoot, hey, Maria. Squirrel. I said, but if I go, what are you going to do? And she said, what does that even matter? If you want to go be with your friends, go be with your friends. And immediately, I started weeping. I started ugly crying right in front of my new girlfriend. And I couldn't see her face, but I imagine that she was like, don't go with your friends. You see, she had the security in her love for me. And her secure love for me was the thing that healed me of that past wound. And I'm here to tell you that God's love is not like the love of a man. God's love is not like the love of a woman, where it comes from an insecure place, where it comes out of an imperfect person. Our God is whole. And his love will heal you from those past hurts, those things that have happened to you in past relationships, that you won't experience those things. when you fall in love with the Father God. He is here to heal you with his love. Let him go deep in you. Let him go inside your heart and bring those things out. Once you fall in love with God, his love will heal you. And his is a perfect love. God's love can heal you. So God wants us to, so God has this wild love for us. But it's like, okay, I hear that, but what does God want from me? So God loves me, but why? Why does he show me this love that he has? And there are three things that we have found that God wants us to do with this love. Because he loves us, he gives us the ability to receive his love, to love him back, and to show his love to others. Those are the only three things that God really wants from us. He wants us to receive. He wants us to love him back. And then he wants us to show other people his love. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." God loved you first. Even if you don't know who God is, even if you've never spoken to God, even if you've never heard about God, he loved you before you were born. He actually knit you together in your mother's womb, whether you know it or not. Some of you have this mentality of like, nobody loves me. I've never been loved. I want to tell you today that that's not true. The God of the universe loves you, and he's loved you your whole life. Matthew 22 says this, talking to Jesus, a scholar of the law, tested Jesus by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. Everything that God has for us, everything that God wants from us, everything that God has done for us is dependent on these two things, that we should love God with everything that we have and that we should love other people. Following Jesus is very simple. I didn't say easy, but it's very simple. Love God and love people. Let's go over these few things. First, receiving this love. Now, how do I receive this love? And I know some people in this room might be saying like, man, Jordan, that sounds great, but I don't know how to be loved. I don't know how to receive love. Maybe because some of you have never been truly loved in a healthy way before. Maybe because the idea of someone loving you, if you're a little bit like me, can be quite uncomfortable. Like, have you ever received a gift outside of like your birthday or Christmas or whatever? For me, it's very uncomfortable to receive gifts. I like receiving gifts. But when someone comes and they give me a gift and I'm like, "What is this for?" They're like, "I was just thinking about you." It's very uncomfortable. Anybody else? I'm the only one that has a hard time receiving love. It's very awkward for me because I don't have anything for you. And just saying thank you feels like such a week, and I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful when someone brings me a gift. But just saying thank you feels like such a weak, like, response. Like, here's something, and then I just, thanks. And there are people in this room that you can't even take a compliment. You have to reject the compliment. "Hey, man, you're such a great guy." No. I am a trash person. I am no one. I am nothing. Man, and so when God, like, has anyone ever experienced this? Like, someone's loving on you and you just feel like you have to get out of the room? You just feel like, I can't be here. some of us, man, when God starts to show us his love for us, or when we feel his love for us, some of us feel like we have to run because I don't have anything that I can do for you. But the first step, and really the only step in receiving his love, is we have to get a revelation. And the revelation is this, that God's love for you is a free gift. It's free. Like, sometimes when people are like a little bit too nice to me or whatever, I start to feel like, what do they want from me? Anybody else? God's love is a free gift. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 2. God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. God didn't make a checklist of things that we had to do in order to receive this gift. The reason that he did that is because he wanted you to know that it's free. There's nothing that you can do. There's no way you can earn it. There's no way you can buy it. There's no way that you can steal it. There's nothing that we can do except have faith and receive it. My dad, when I was a younger man, probably 17, 18, 19, I started, you know, I had some part-time jobs and me and my family, we would go out and we'd like go to restaurants or go to a movie. And of course, my parents would always pay. They would always... Some of you, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean of course. My parents chose. So I started to feel guilty. I started to feel guilty. Because again, I had a hard time just receiving. I was very grateful. But we would go out and we'd go to get some food or something, and I began to say, Dad, can I like put some money towards that? And he'd look at me like, or we'd go to the movies and I'd say, I'll get my ticket. And my dad said to me something that I will never forget. And this is what the Lord wants to say to you today. He said, son, as long as you're with me, you will never have to pay. And the Father God would say the same thing to you. Son, daughter, as long as you're with me, I will pick up the check. You will never have to pay the price. You will never have to make your own way. I will get you to the show. I will get you where I want you to go. I will put you in places with the right people at the right times. You will not have to make your own way. I will put you where I want you to be. Another thing that happened with my dad, and this was when I was younger, I don't know how old I was, 10, 9, or, you know, my parents have been pastors my whole life. So every Sunday, you know, my dad would preach. And then after the message, sure enough, people would come up to him and they'd want prayer from him, or they just want to tell him how much that message meant to them, and or they would just want to talk to him. So I would run up, you know, just wanting to say hi to my dad or whatever. And I would just wait. I would just wait because he was with people. And at one point my dad noticed this. And he said, hey, what are you doing? I said, It's fine, you know, you're with people, I'll wait. And And my dad said to me, "You're my son. You will never have to wait. You want to come up to me? You come up to me." And again, God is saying the same thing to you, my son, my daughter. If you want something, if you need me, you never have to wait. I'm never too busy for you. God is never too busy for you. God is never annoyed by you running up to him. Even if it's just to experience some of that love, even if you just need to hug him, you need to feel his love around you. Some of you in here, you don't approach the Father because you feel like your request is so small and meager that why would you want to approach God with that? Or I don't deserve it. Or God has bigger things to do. But I want you to know that God is not annoyed. He is not ashamed. He is not too busy. He is not above. He is not trying to shut you out. He is available to you no matter what you need, no matter what you want, no matter how small or how big the request. If you want access to the Father God says to you, "I love you so much. You can come to me anytime you want." He's given us that right. He's given us that access. We have access to our Heavenly Father because he loves us so much. And it's a free gift. When me and my wife, when Chloe came to this world, there was nothing that that baby could do for us. There was nothing that we could ask her to do. Before she even looked at us, before she even opened her eyes, I was so in love with her, I would do anything for her. Not because of what she could do for me, but because when you're a father, when you're a mother, you just love your kid. The Father God just loves you. Because you are his children. We're his. Whether you know it or not, whether you've claimed him or not, whether you understand that he's the creator of heaven and earth and everything in the earth or not, you came from the Father God. And he loves you. He loves you. How am I doing on time? Not good. So receiving his love, then the second thing that he wants is he wants us to love him back. With this love, God, what do you want from me? I want you to love me back. I want to have a relationship with you. Think about like a, even if you're not sure what it really looks like, think about a healthy relationship with your spouse or with your parents or, you know, because it's like, man, again, some of us don't even know how to express love. But when it's easy to love God when you think, how would I like to be loved? How would I as a father or a mother, or if I had kids, or if I was married, or, you know, whatever. It's easy to love God. It's easy to express our love to him because of how good he is. I'll give you a few ways that we need to express love. And again, this is only for you if your desire is to express love. God's not trying to force you. I'm not here to convince you. No one's trying to like tie you down into it. Just know God loves you. And for if you want to express love to God, I'll teach you how. Number one, we express love to God by doing what he asks. John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Well, that sounds controlling. But but parents, you understand that the way that your kids express love to you, one of the ways is by when you ask them to do something, they do it. Kids, one of the main ways that you express to your parents that you love them, that you respect them, is if they ask you to do something, you do it. If they ask you to stay away from someone, You do it. When your Father God, he asks us to do things. Working with the youth for as long as I have, I've seen all kinds of teenagers who just don't listen to their parents. I'll sit down with some of these young men and women. I'll say, you have a problem with listening. I'll say, do you love your parents? Yeah, I love them with all my heart. And I say, no, you don't. You feel towards them. You have affection towards them, but you don't know how to love them. When God asks us to do something, and we check in with ourselves about how we feel about it first, what we're saying to God is our feelings are more important than our love for God. If God tells you to break up with that boyfriend, you should break up with that boyfriend. If God tells you to stop talking to that girl, you should never talk to that girl again. If God tells you to go to a certain school, if God tells you to get into a certain field, if God tells you to talk to somebody and tell them about how much he loves them, then man, the last thing we should do is check in with ourselves. And again, this is only for you that have a desire to express love. If you desire to express love, we have to obey what the Father tells us. Love comes with boundaries. Love is antithetical with living a life where you do whatever you want. Love is about putting someone before yourself. When you become a spouse, suddenly you have boundaries. When you become a parent, suddenly there's less things you can do that you would do before. I mean, I guess you could still do those things, but that would make you a crummy parent. No specific examples. Number two, we express love to God through our worship. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It should not be difficult for us to worship God. It should not be difficult for us to raise our hands during worship if we've been serving the Lord for years and years and years. My goodness, when are you going to raise your hands in worship? When are you going to clap? When are you going to stand before Pastor Nicole tells you to stand? Man, we got to love God so much that it's like he's so good to us that we just can't wait to worship him. We can't wait to worship him. We can't wait to express our love for him. Even if nobody else is standing, even if nobody else is singing, I'm going to sing. I'm going to stand. I'm going to raise my hands because he's worthy of worship. That's how we express our love to him. That's how we express our love to him, because he's worthy, because he's good, not because we feel like it. God, I repent for the times that I folded my arms because I didn't feel like worshiping. I repent for the times where I felt like it was a sacrifice to put my hands in the air. And please understand what I'm saying. If you're new at this, don't feel pressured. Let it come out of a true place of love. But I gotta tell you, there has to come a point. I'm sorry I keep using my relationship with April as an example, but that's all I got. Man, you know what? Maybe on date number one, I don't hold her hand. Maybe on date number two, I don't hold her hands. But man, if I'm a year in my relationship with her and I can't hold her hand in public or give her a kiss on the cheek or show other people how I feel about her, she gone. Come on now, if you've been serving the Lord and you want to show him how much you love him, we better stand right now and give God some praise if you want to express. Come on, Gateway City Church. God is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy, even when there's no song being sung, of us to stand up and express to him how much we love him. All right, you guys can be seated. You guys don't have to be seated. I said you can. I better finish. We express love to God by putting him first. Matthew 22, we read it earlier. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. When you're pursuing somebody, you better treat them different than everybody else. Young men, if you're pursuing a lady, you better talk to her more than you talk to anybody else. You better do more for her than you do for anybody else. You better spend more time with her than anybody else. Because man, if you treat every girl like super special, I'm gonna give you a tip. If you treat every girl like she's your special sister in Christ and do that whole head on the shoulder thing, and then when the right one comes, she's not gonna know. You know, when I married April, I made a commitment to her. Calling her my wife means something. When you call God your Lord, that means something. That means something. It wouldn't make sense to me to tell April, you're the most important person in my life, if I'm spending all my time with the guys. It doesn't make sense to say, Lord, you are Lord of my life, if really he's number 3 or 4 on your priority list. God should be first. We got to put him first. God is not a side chick. God is number one, or he's nothing. I got to end. All right, I'll close with this. Then he wants us to give this love. We've received it. We've loved him back, and now he wants us to give this love. So an important question is it easy for me to love others? And then a good follow-up question is, if it's not easy for me to love others, do I excuse myself from loving others? God tells us that if we love him, that means we'll love others. It's not going to be easy, but we can't excuse ourselves. God's love is so wild. He loves us unconditionally. When you love someone unconditionally, you accept them. You accept their faults. You accept their flaws. What if we excused ourselves from loving people with a mission to change them? And what if we stopped saying, and don't get me wrong, we should not be in abusive relationships. You should not be around toxic people that are hurting you and that are making you weak. But I think that as Christians, we can be a little bit too quick to cut people out of our lives. I think as Christians, we can be too fast with the dangerous label and say, well, because of your faults, you can't be in my life. But man, what if Jesus said that to us? Plain love says, I will love you as long as. Unconditional love says, I will love you no matter what. There are lost people out there. And God's way of reaching them is you and me. God's way of reaching those people. And we got to get good at loving each other right here, right now, first. We want lost people to come in and get saved. The Bible says that they'll know that we're God's disciples by the way that we love each other. But if they walk in and we can't even love the person that's sitting on our row, how are they supposed to know who Jesus is? Jesus has a love for people. And if we want to express our love for God, we express it to other people. We serve other people. If you want it to be a little bit easier to show love, just remember the state that you were in when you received love from the Father. If you have an accurate picture of where you were and your faults now, it's easy to love other people. Well, I can't love them because they're just a little bit too annoying. I never want God to look at me and say, you know, because of these little things you have, let's just accept each other. Let's love each other. And through that, we show love to the Father. Stand up with me again. I'm having you guys move because I want you guys to pay attention. All right, can you guys close your eyes? I want to ask you to make a few decisions here today. Jesus loves you so much, he came down, he died on a cross for you and me. And maybe someone in here has never experienced that love. Maybe you've never felt it. Maybe you've never heard of it before today. Maybe you've heard of it 100 times and you just never decided to open up your life to the Lord. I want today to be that day for you where you receive the love of God and you turn your life over to him. So I'm going to ask, if there's someone in this room that wants to turn their life over to Jesus and experience this healing love, you just raise your hand. No one's looking around. This is the moment. Jesus loves you so much. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand in the back. Thank you. This is the moment right here. Let that love touch your heart. Let it flood your life. I see that hand in the middle. See the hand over here. Thank you. Now I want to ask you guys to put your hands down. Now I want to ask, maybe you're far from God. Maybe you've been serving him, but you feel like you haven't experienced that love. You just haven't felt it. Not that it's all about feeling and not that, but man, it'd sure be nice to like just experience the love of God and be healed of some things. If you want that healing love to hit you right now, whether it's coming back to Jesus or you're serving Jesus and you just need his love to heal some things in your heart, can you raise your hands? Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. Come on now. Is there anybody else? You guys put your hands down. I want everyone across this room, whether you put your hand in the air or not, we're going to pray this prayer. I just want you guys to repeat after me and let God's love wash over you. All right, say this. Lord, I need you. I want to experience your healing love. Help me receive your love. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. And help me to show your love to others. In Jesus' name, amen. We had some people raise their hands for the very first time. Can we express how we think that's the best decision they've ever made in their lives? And if you've made that decision for the first day or for the first time today, or maybe even if you didn't raise your hand, but you said that prayer and you meant it, we want to be on this journey with you. Don't try to start this thing alone. There's a card in the seat back in front of you that says, I've decided. You can fill that out and let us know the decision that you made. Or my preference would be, we have a team at the Welcome Center. You can just walk up to one of those counters and you just say to somebody, I prayed a prayer today. I prayed a prayer today. And they'll know, they'll help you. They'll give you the next steps, what you can do to get into community and to get into groups. They'll give you a gift. And we want to walk with you. We don't want you to do this alone. So we're gonna jump back into worship here. And while we're singing, ushers, you can serve the people. We're going to do our tithes and our offerings. Thank you guys so much for letting me share with you. Let's worship the Lord.
Go ahead. Thank you, Pastor Jordan. Awesome. Let's respond to that word by telling God, you're my one. We're going to sing verse 3. It says, this one King, my healer and Savior. Come on, let's sing it really loud. this one King. Yes, Lord, you're my healer and Savior. That's it, my healer and Savior. Oh, there's none like.
Theology was asked, what's the greatest truth? What's the core message of Christianity? Is it the imminent eschatological appearing of Jesus Christ? Is it the ontological essence of God's presence? What is it, the kenosis of Philippians 2? What's the core teaching of Christianity? He said, I'll give you the core. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, and he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. How many are glad for the love of God? Great job, Pastor Jordan. I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Pastor Chris, come on, join me, and tell me, what's this meeting that's going on for life groups?
You know very well, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. And that's why we have life groups. We call them small groups, life groups. It's groups of people that get together during the week. So we come on Sunday, then we get together in groups to live out what Pastor Jordan was preaching here this morning, the love of God. And so what we're doing is something new here. We're having a life group interest meeting, basically down in room 201, down the hallway. If you're not connected, because I sensed, Pastor, this morning, as Pastor Jordan was sharing, there's people in this room, you want to be loved.
Oh, that's right.
You don't know how to be loved. You don't know how to love others. And some people are desperate. You need to get into a life group. You need to get into a small group. If you're not in one, come on down the hallway. We'll get you connected, and we'll start to experience and live out what we were hearing this morning. Amen? So I'll be right down the hallway right after the service. God bless.
Amen. Now, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the great love of God with which you loved us, that saves us. Though we deserve nothing, you give us everything. How great is this love? Lord, I pray that each of us online, in the cafe, in the auditorium, each of us will be carriers of your great love, extenders of your great love in this week. And Lord, that your healing love will be our experience, not just today, but all through this week. Let us experience that grace, that peace, that love that only comes in relationship with Jesus. We praise you for it. In his name, amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. My friends are here to pray with you here up at the front. If you need healing prayer, if you want to talk to somebody, check in. Come on and let us help you, all right? God bless you. You are dismissed.